Getting Back Out There, part funded by the National Lottery Community Fund, looking at the challenges and experiences of blind and partially sighted people in rural and isolated communities in Scotland.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB Scotland is running a project called Getting Back Out There. Its aim is to provide more advice and support for blind and partially sighted people from rural areas in Scotland. Joining me today is John Bapty from Ardisir. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, can you give us a little bit of insight as to what it's like living somewhere like Ardisir?
Living up this here, while it has many advantages, lovely coastal walks, lovely country walks, very low traffic density, very friendly people, very helpful people. But however, it does have advantages when you have to go out with the area or have hospital appointments or anything like that.
Can you tell us a little bit about your sight loss, please, and how that impacts your day-to-day living?
I was born with normal eyesight, and when I was a teenager, I had an accident and I cracked my head and I lost the sight in my left eye. However, being young, that didn't really affect me, and I had a completely normal life living with the sight in one eye. I became an apprentice later. Then after that, when I was made redundant, I joined the army. I did 15 years in the army. And when I left the army, I went back to my trade as a slater, and I went self-employed, and I was running my own slating business for over 27 years. About 3 months before I reached retirement, I woke up one morning and I had severe eyesight problem. I went to the optician and he diagnosed that there was severe problems there and I needed to get a hospital appointment right away. Done a complete medical on me, and then they said, we need to do brain scans, MRI scans and all these sort of things. They said, you've got nerve damage, you've got problems with it, blood flowing to your eyes. That old brain injury you've had has came back to haunt you. The doctor just turned out and says to me, you are not fit to drive. Obviously, I wound my business up, sold my van off, got rid of the temptation. I just started to try to come to terms with what had happened. And basically, obviously, it was a big shock. It was akin to bereavement. I went through the depression. I went through the anger. I went through thinking I was actually going mad. Then I got a phone call from a lady saying she was from Blind Veteran. Would she mind if she came and seen me? So Alison West came up, and she came up from Dumbarton, and she spoke to me and everything, and she was very nice. And she says, you need to get yourself down to our Brighton Centre and do an induction course, and this will help you come to terms with what you're doing, and it'll allow us to assess you. We will give you training to cope. Well, what happens next? She says, I'll just phone you and tell you the date of the flight, and if that's suitable for you, that is it. Just you get yourself to Inverness Airport. You don't need any paperwork, no nothing, and that was it. When I got the date, I went to Inverness Airport and just introduced myself, and they went, yeah, oh, yes, very well, aye. You sit there, you'll be the last one off the aeroplane, and when you go down the steps, there'll be a minibus waiting for you. And that was it.
I suppose it's that kind of support, particularly when you're going through the, as you said, the stages of bereavement that you mentioned you were going through. I suppose support like that does kind of give you a little bit of hope there is help and support out there. What kind of support have you got around about you in Ardisir at the moment?
Up to Covert, I had brilliant, absolutely world-class support. I had many events, and I went down to Stirling, I went down to Glasgow, and getting specially looked after with these organisations that look after blind and visually impaired people. Then, obviously, Covert struck absolutely 3 years. All I got was a letter saying, due to your safety being paramount and the members of staff safety being paramount, since Covert and everything lifted, I'm lucky if I got a cup of tea once a month. I'll tell you what it felt like. It felt like getting a limb cut off. And because of that, and because of not having hospital appointments or anything, for over 3 years, when I went back, they found severe problems again. And that was because of the three-year gap.
Yeah.
And once I got this new eye doctor, he turned around and assured me, he says, I'm personally going to take care of you. When you get a doctor's appointment from me, you will get it. And if it says 3 months, you will get it in 3 months. And it's been true to his word. On that side of things, I was very happy with. But however, due to getting nothing else, I was doing everything on my own, going my walks on my own, everything else. But I had lost confidence in public transport by not using it. I kind of became a wee prisoner within the village. One of the times I was in the eye clinic and the wee nurse was asking me what was happening. And I was telling her, and she said, what do you do? And I told her, the problems I was having. And she says, you know something? She said, you're the third veteran this week that's came and told me that exact story. But what I'll do is I'll go and speak to the liaison officer at the Royal National Institution for the Blind. She's based here. She'll come and speak to you. We sat down and had a talk. And I got everything off my chest. And I tell her everything that was wrong and all that. And she duly listened to me. And she says, so since you like walking, she says, would you like to join a walking group? I said, yes. She says, I'll phone up the visually impaired walking group in Inverness. It was a great experience. It was not just the walk. It was the fact that I was talking to other people that were going through the same problems as me. And because we're there as a group, we became a team and we started looking after each other. I really enjoyed it. That led from one thing to another. Then when I was at the walking group, one of the people in the walking group says, John, I've had a phone call. You want to join the Tandem Club? I went, yes, I'll get my phone here. I got a phone call one day and the boy says, hello, I'm Tandem Group. I believe you want to join it. I said, oh, yes, I. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I can't do much tomorrow. I said, I'm going on the Seagull Book Club down the Caledonian Canal. He said, oh, that's all right. We're just round the corner from that. I'll meet you as you get off the boat. So when I got off the boat, I heard this man shouting. Then he said, who's John? I said, I'm John. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do, John. Cycle from here. You'll be able to go to the bus station, I said, yes. He says, well, cycle along the canal at the bus station. That'll allow me to assess you. We cycled along to the bus station, went through the town, and which for the first time for me was pretty hairy. And then he said, ah, you're all right, John. He says, we have a session on Wednesday at the Wynn Park. And I went, oh, I am. So what I done is, I said, oh, I looked up the map and I went, oh, I know where Wynn Park is, because since I lost my sight, I've lost all awareness of where other places are. I said, right, what I'm going to do is get the bus. While I get to Inverness, I can't get a bus to the Wynn Park. But I had a look at the map and I went, oh, that's the walks we go when we do in the VIP walk. And I went, oh, I know 90% of it. So I said, what I'll do is I'll go a walk and I'll check to see how long it takes me and everything else. So I went a walk and I couldn't find the place. Then I stopped and I said to somebody, hello, I'm looking for Wynn Park. And I just missed it by 10 feet. So they took me there and I went, oh, that's it. The next day I said, I'm going to do that again and time myself. So I'd done it and timed myself. I said, right, on Wednesday I'm going to be there at 6 o'clock. And I got there before 6 o'clock and then that was it. And that was the start of a complete whole new life for me. The things were there,
yeah,
but I didn't know they were there. And it gave me the wee kick that I needed. Get out yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
And my advice to anyone that's going through this, make the first step. Walk out your gate. Do it. It's maybe a hair of scary at the start, but you won't regret it. You can always do an awful lot more than you think you do.
Absolutely.
Because you're just the same person except you've lost your sight.
My final question for you, John, is RNIB Scotland are holding loads of events across the country to bring people together from rural and isolated areas to help them to access information and support services. Do you think that this is something that more people from isolated areas could benefit from?
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. What I've found is because of the big charities, very little reaching the front line. And it's nice if we can get things back to communities where you're meeting people in your own area and everything. You're sharing experiences and you're learning that you're not alone. And we're human beings. And if one thing that that lockdown proved is human beings need company.
Well, John Baptie from Ardisir, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio and sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much. I hope whoever listened to this, I hope it helps at least one person.
Getting Back Out There, part funded by the National Lottery Community Fund, looking at the challenges and experiences of blind and partially sighted people in rural and isolated communities in Scotland. Find us on social media at RNIB Scotland.